The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
You know, there's something that's missing in our culture today, and that is hope. And we have that hope. And I hope that you're looking for ways to engage other people and share that with them. And in that journey, that process, we all need to take steps of spiritual growth. We all need to take steps of spiritual growth. And that's why we're here in chapel today. We want to take steps of spiritual growth. So we're going to go to one of my favorite passages. I hope you have favorite passages in the Bible. I mentioned this last week. I was in like a prayer group of sorts over in Rice Tower. I'm sure some of you are here this morning, and I had a blast hanging out with those guys. And one of the things I shared with them is, you know, you should have some favorite verses that just run through your mind on a regular basis. Well, one of those passages that I often turn to, I often remind myself of, and I know it's going to be a reminder for you this morning. It's nothing new. The Bible's not new. It's been around for a long time. Many passages in the Bible are familiar to us, and this is no different. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. And you say, oh, I know Proverbs 3. Yes, I know you know Proverbs 3, but we all need the reminder. We all need the encouragement. And coming out of Resurrection Sunday, I know your heart is probably like mine. I'm sure that it is. Where we were encouraged by what our Savior did on our behalf and what we have in Him. Because we are in Christ, we have the opportunity for spiritual victory. Because we are in Christ, we have the opportunity to win the battle over sin. And so as a byproduct, so to speak, of the Easter weekend, hopefully this morning your heart is in a place where you're desirous to take that next step in your walk with Christ. So this morning we're going to look at the essentials of spiritual growth from Proverbs chapter 3. And what we're going to find is that God desires that we grow in our faith. Whether you just came to know Christ recently or whether you've known Christ your whole life, every single day, every believer should be taking steps of growth in our faith. That's God's desire for us. We'll find that in Proverbs chapter 3 very clearly. Let's look at verse number 1 together this morning. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." First of all, this morning, the first step that we're going to find in Proverbs chapter 3 to growing our faith is by believing God's word. Now you say, well, of course I believe God's word. I know Christ is my Savior and I'm in a Christian college. I believe God's word. I understand that, but let's unpack that this morning. Let's stop and ask ourselves a question. Do I really believe God's word? And what does that mean? So first thing that we find here in verse number 1 is that believing God's word is connected to obedience to God's commands. Believing God's word is connected to obedience to his commands. Verse 1:1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Keep my commandments. Then if you go down to verse number 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So what is he saying? Well, he's saying that in order for us to grow in our faith, in order for us to believe God's word, then we need to obey God's commands. That's the byproduct that's connected. They are the same. If I know God's word and I believe it, then I am living in obedience to his commands. We see this all throughout scripture. Here's a few verses to sample the idea. Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments." John 14:15 says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then a few verses later in verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So over at CCY, that's Campus Church Youth, that's what we call our youth group here. Over at CCY, I say this quite often with our teenagers because it's one of those statements I hope that they think on regularly. I certainly do. I'm not sure where I really got this idea from. I'm sure it's from years of training here at Pensacola Christian College and ministry opportunities throughout my career. But I have this phrase, I say, a belief not practiced is not a belief at all. And the reason why I say that is because oftentimes with our youth group, our teenagers are second, third, fourth generation believers. Maybe even more than that in some cases. And I would guess that many of you are second generation Christians or more. And when we've grown up around the gospel, when we've grown up around the word of God, when we've grown up around the Bible, what happens is we become a little lethargic. We become a little haphazard. We say all the right things because we know what the Bible says. We've been around it our whole life. We say we believe, and you fill in the blanks of the things the Bible teaches. But then when it comes to how we live and the things that we do and the things that we watch and the things that we are participating in, we don't really believe what we say we do. And so a phrase maybe to jot in the side of your notebook to think about, a belief not practiced is not a belief at all. How can we say that we believe God if we don't obey the instructions that he has given? How can we say that we believe God if we don't obey the instructions that he's given? It is an interesting concept when you stop to think about all of the commands of Scripture. And I mentioned this in my Bible study group on Sunday morning, but sometimes I think we say, oh, I keep the commands of God. Okay, well, what are the commands of God? Can you name the commands that Jesus gave? So Jesus is saying this. We can name the Ten Commandments, but can we name the commands that Jesus gave? Did he give us instructions? Did he teach us in Matthew 5-7 on the Sermon on the Mount about things that are more than just the surface, they're at the heart level? Did Jesus teach us how we should live our life? Did he teach his disciples and as a byproduct we can learn from those teachings and then live in accordance to those things? Of course he did. So when was the last time you just stopped and thought through, what is it that God desires for me to do? Here's another word for you in reference to believing God's word is connected to obedience to God's commands, and that is the word conviction. Conviction. I recently ran into someone who believed something different than me, and they were making a statement of, I cannot eat from sunrise to sundown right now because of the religious holiday that we were celebrating. So I'm not going to eat at all this entire day because of my convictions. And I thought, man, how committed am I to what God teaches in his word? Am I committed to the point that I would say, it is a conviction of mine. I will make sacrifices on his behalf. Oh, may we not just be people that are saying that we believe the Bible. May we be people that are committed to the Savior that we say we follow. May we be like the disciples on Resurrection Sunday. The Bible says that Peter and John, they go and they see the tomb there, and we just celebrated this on Sunday. They're looking in, they see, and then the Bible says in John that is the moment in which John believed. That's the moment when Peter believed. May we be like the disciples that now we're going in a totally different direction. What do the 12 disciples, well, the 11 disciples do after the resurrection of Christ? They see Jesus, he ministers to them, they believe, they recognize the gospel, and they go and turn the whole world upside down. Hey, I don't know about you, I'm part of the young crowd. I try to pretend like I'm still part of the young crowd. You just said 8 years ago I started the youth pastor. I feel like I'm 23, okay? I'm not. I wish I was, okay? But I pretend like I'm part of the young crowd. I think I'm part of the younger generation. And you know what I've heard my whole life? Like, oh man, your generation, they're just running from God. You guys don't want to stand on the truth. You don't have any backbone. You don't have any convictions. I'm tired of hearing that. There's so many people in this room today that love God. Well, don't be intimidated by people that don't love God. Go live in accordance to his commands. You know what happens when we obey God's commands? People take note of it. People take note of it. I recently have had the opportunity to open a door here in Pensacola and start serving in a public school. I've been helping out at some after school activities and going over for lunch and things like that. One of the things that amazes me is the young people at that school, immediately after they meet me, it's an immediate statement of, are you a Christian? It's amazing how fast it happens. Hey, in our culture, it is getting darker. But guess what that means? That means you and I can shine brighter. If we obey the commands of God, we are not only growing in our relationship with him, we're not only growing in our belief of God's word, but then we are demonstrating to others of the same. We're demonstrating to them that we are growing. One last thought with that in reference to believing God's word is connected to obedience to God's word. How can we obey something that we are ignorant of? How can we obey something we're ignorant of? You know, obviously I'm trying to make a lot of people aware of the fact that NC State is in the Final Four right now. And there's quite a few of you, I don't know if I'm daring enough to have people raise their hands, but there's probably quite a few of you out there that could care less about basketball. You know what I found amongst my teenagers is there's some athletes that they follow every game and every stat line, and I'm probably one of those people. I'm a big NC State fan. I also like the St. Louis Cardinals, and I follow both of those sports teams quite a bit. And so I keep up with some of the stats, and I pay attention to how the game flow went, and I can talk about those things, and I like to make other people aware of those because I'm not ignorant of what happened. I'm not ignorant of the fact that NC State beat Duke, and I am texting all my Duke fans, friends, and letting them know, hey guys, we beat you in the NCAA tournament. And they're like, well, we beat you in the regular season. Okay, so we have this banter back and forth. Why? Because we knew about a circumstance that happened. Hey, you might not be into sports, but if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, how much do you know about Him? How much do you know about Him? Do you spend time in His Word every day? We have a common statement here in this generation. Many times you hear people say, well, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Well, let me tell you something. Ignorance about God's word is not bliss. How could we who claim to be Christians, that is little Christ, those that love God, how could we say that we are ignorant of that which He teaches us? If we love Him, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love Him, we're not just going to say that we are a Christian. We're not just going to talk about the things that we believe. We're going to invest in ourselves. We're going to deepen our knowledge of God's word. And that really leads us to the second thought. Not only is believing God's word connected to obedience to God's commands, but believing God's word is done in the heart. And again, listen, we're trying to keep things simple today. You just got back from break. We don't want to go too deep this morning, okay? But this is a simple thought, but it's a very good thought for us to consider. Believing God's word is done in the heart. Verse number one says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Then in verse three, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. This takes us to other passages in Scripture as well. Of course, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you know Christ personally, you know Him personally because you believed on Jesus in your heart. Luke 6:45 takes us to the next level in reference to our heart. Jesus speaking here, He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what are we saying? Well, in other words, what we do, what we say, all the things that come out of us, it comes from what we believe in our heart. So what do you believe in your heart? I would also say this, what you believe comes from what you put in. What you believe comes from what you put in. What you are filling your mind with constantly is what is eventually gonna come out. I don't know how many times I've said this to a teenager when they've said something inappropriate. You know, they said a bad word or they said an inappropriate statement, and they kind of give you that look like, oh no, I just said that in front of my youth pastor. And then quite often they'll make a statement like, I don't know where that came from. And immediately I respond with, well, it came from your heart. You know why? Because Jesus said, out of the good treasure of his heart, a good man is a good man. Okay, then he says, I messed that up bad. Let's read it. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Okay, so what are we saying? What you're putting into your heart is eventually going to come out. If you're watching things that are filling your heart with profanity and evil, and things of this world, if you're watching things constantly that are infiltrating your mind with things that are not of God, do you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna start seeing those things come out in your own life. So what you put into your mind is what comes out. One of the biggest lies that the devil is selling us in 2024 is that when we're watching things, our mind is in neutral. Well, that's not really true. You know, when we open our phone, we take out YouTube or whatever your platform is that you watch things on. When you watch TV, you kind of feel like you're in neutral, but you're not in neutral because when you're in neutral, you as a human being are always bent towards sin. That's what we're always bent towards. Our human nature always bends towards the flesh. It always bends towards sinfulness. So if we put our mind in neutral, then we're going to fail. We're going to bend towards, we're going to fall towards sin every time. What am I saying? Well, I'm saying that if we want to believe God's word, then we have to guard our heart. We have to protect our heart. We have to be careful about what we allow into our heart. When I say heart, I'm really talking about where we think. In the narrative of your own mind, are you putting up safeguards? Are you allowing the protection of the Holy Spirit in your life to prevent you from thinking things you shouldn't think? So believing God's word, it's connected to obedience of God's commands. It's also done in our heart. And then finally, very quickly on this first thought of growing our faith is by believing God's word. One final thing, believing God's word has rewards. Believing God's word has rewards. Do you believe that this morning? The Bible says in verse number 2, it says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Another one of those words that I find that our culture does not have. As a general rule, our culture does not have peace. Everybody's crying for peace. And the reason why they are is because the inner man of the average person, even here in America, does not understand peace. Do you understand peace? When you walk away from your quiet time with the Lord, has he not provided you with peace that passeth all understanding? Have you ever lost a loved one? And in the midst of the trial and the grief and the sorrow and the sadness and the tears and the confusion, even in the midst of that, there is a peace that you just can't quite explain. There's a comfort that you just can't quite understand. Well, Jesus promised us that he would not leave us comfortless. He would provide another comforter, the Holy Spirit to dwell within. And the Holy Spirit is providing us with the peace that we need every day. Well, that's why it's so important for us to spend time in God's word. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in prayer. That's why it's so important for us to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Why? Because there's a reward to believing God's word. There's a reward for believing what you're reading in God's word. And some of those rewards we have tasted and seen, and maybe we don't connect them to that time alone with God. Some of those are things like peace, comfort in the midst of trial and difficulty. Verse number 4 says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." That sounds a lot like the statement of Jesus when he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How do I grow in favor with other people? Other people are hard to get along with. Like, they're not like me. Oh, okay, that's reality because we're all sinful people. So how can I grow in favor with other people? How can I grow in favor with God? Well, believe God's word. Believe what he teaches. Walk with him. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And as you do, the byproduct, the reward, is that you grow in favor with God and man. You say, "You don't understand the situation I'm in." You're right, I don't. But we have a high priest that was touched with every one of our infirmities. He understands everything that we're going through. So I may not understand what you're going through, but I know a God in heaven who is watching every move that you make, and he cares infinitely about you. One time I was taking a hike with a friend. Actually, we were running on a mountain, which is, I mean, it's hiking. It's hiking, it's running. I'm not sure what you want to call it. You're kind of trying to survive, right? Okay, so I think it was about 3 miles. I can't remember exactly how far it was, but we ran down this mountain trail, and at the bottom we got to a beautiful waterfall and enjoyed it for like 10 seconds, and then we just kept on running because we were trying to beat the sunset back to camp. And so we're running up the hill, and we're at this one part of the trail where it's almost straight up, and you're like grabbing trees and you're pulling on rocks and all these things to just kind of get yourself up the trail. And I look over, there's like an opening because it's so steep. There's an opening in the trees, and I look over, and there's a lake down between two mountains, and just beyond it, the sun was setting, and it was one of those just incredibly colorful sunsets, you know, pink and orange and yellow, and just, I mean, the splendor of it just filled the sky. And I look over at it, and I'm just kind of catching my breath because I'm out of shape, you know. Not really. At that time, I was in pretty good shape. If I was now, I would have been just like clinging there, asking for somebody to pull me up the mountain. But nonetheless, I'm pausing for a moment to catch my breath, and I look over, and I'm just enjoying the sunset. And my friend, he says, his name is Dan. He looks at me, and he says, "It's a pretty sunset, isn't it?" I said, "That is a gorgeous sunset." He's like, "You know what's really cool? God was thinking about you when he painted it." Oh man, I have never forgotten that. When the psalmist says in Psalm 139 that his thoughts unto us are more than the sand of the sea, our God loves us And he sees every single detail of our life, and he is engaged in your life. We just have to open our eyes to the ways that he is carrying us through the dark valleys, providing for us when things are hard. And then also, he is our reward. So he's the one that provides joy and satisfaction in life. Oh, but I'll go on forever on that. So believing God's word, there are rewards to believing God's word. Okay, let's finish real quick with the second step to spiritual growth. And that is choosing to believe not only in God's word, but in God's plan. Choosing to believe in God's plan. Look at verses 5 and 6. You probably have them memorized. You probably could quote these. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The first step is trust him completely. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I remember my pastor growing up, he'd always say, all means all. That's all means. It's a true statement. It's all of it. Trust the Lord with all of your life. What's that one thing that you're holding on to that you won't give God? When I was a teenager, we traveled to a foreign country. And while we were there in Nicaragua, we were in a little village called Matiari. And there was a camp there that we were staying at. And then we hosted a couple of youth retreats and things during the week that we were there. And because we didn't speak Spanish, we put together a little skit of sorts, and then we had another group there with us that translated the skit, and not that I'm endorsing this skit in any way, but I do remember I was part of the skit, and my role in the skit was I played Jesus, and I walked into this young lady's house, and she said, oh, Jesus, I didn't know you were coming today. Well, why don't you sit here? Oh, don't look at that. Let me move this, and the whole skit was about how she was trying to change her life because Jesus was there. And I've never forgotten the principle of it. I wonder if we recognize the fact that Jesus is with us everywhere we go, in everything that we do, would it change the way that we lived? Well, to trust him completely means that I'm not holding on to anything. There's not an area of my life that I'm keeping to myself. He knows. It's not like we can deceive God into thinking that that we've given him everything. He knows when we haven't. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust him. Psalm 119 says, verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. One of my favorite songs that has spoken to me many times, especially during some of those seasons of grief, a song by Jonathan Hamilton. It was referenced last week when the Majesty team was here. It's called You Are Always Good. You are always good. And in the chorus, it says, though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I just don't know. Well, when your eyes can't see, when you don't understand circumstances, when you don't understand the trial that you're facing or the difficulty that you're in, then pray that prayer. Lord, I can't see. I don't understand. But help me to believe. Because isn't that what faith is? Faith is believing even though we don't fully understand. It's not a blind faith, by the way. Trusting our God makes sense because of all that we find in the pages of Scripture. He is a great and marvelous God. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the savior of the world. If he can save me from my sin, then certainly he can carry me through thick and thin. Not only do we see that we need to trust him completely, but we also need to stop leaning on our own understanding. Don't lean on our own understanding. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, it's a phrase that we've memorized, but do we live it? Do we live in accordance to this statement? Such a hard statement to live by. Don't lean to your own understanding. It's so easy to be lifted up in pride. It's natural to trust in our own knowledge and experience because it's what we're aware of. It's what we're familiar with. So we want to trust in ourselves. But what God is asking you to do is trust him. After all, he's the one who created you. Doesn't he know what's best for your life? Maybe you've experienced something like this in your life, but I remember my sophomore year of high school. It's one of the most powerful lessons I ever learned from my dad. And he didn't teach me anything. I just learned it because of the situation. My sophomore year of high school, I wanted to play football, and my dad said, you're too small. And I was, okay? I wasn't very big. I probably weighed 130 pounds maybe with my pads on. And my dad said, you're too small to play football. And I wanted to play football. I played my freshman year, and I was pretty successful, and I really wanted to play. And I knew I was going to start on varsity. I talked to the coach, and my dad said, you're too small. I just don't have a good feeling about it. And I literally cried about it. I was like, Dad, I want to play. Like, this is like my whole life. Now, years later, of course, it wasn't my whole life, but nonetheless, I go out for football eventually. Dad gave in. He said, okay, I'm going to let you play. I went out there and I saw there's some other kids your size. It'll be all right. I'll let you play. So we played. I played. I did all the training, all the exercises to get into physical fitness. And then we did our first game. And then the second game of the year, our home opener, I had to sit out the first half because I had missed some days of practice because of an illness. So I start in the second half, and the second play of the second half, so for me, the second play of the game, I went for an interception on a quick out to a tight end, and I missed. And so I pulled the tight end down from behind as I was going past him. I reached for the pass, and I missed. So then I grabbed him, and I'm pulling him down, and I pulled him down on top of me. And when I did, he landed right on top of my jaw, and I broke my TMJ joint. And I'll never forget what my dad said the next day when we went to the hospital. It was still really swollen and painful, and so we went to a doctor, and then we went to another specialist. I guess it was probably Monday morning. We were going to an ENT to see a specialist about it, who then referred us that morning over to an oral surgeon to have my jaw wired shut and such. So we're on the way from the ENT to the oral surgeon, and I'll never forget this. Dad looked at me in the car, and I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you. And he said, no, son, that was my fault. The Holy Spirit told me not to let you play, and I gave in, and I shouldn't have done it. How many times does God try to use people in your life to guide you and you close the door? How many times does God try to point us in a direction that he desires for us to go and then we keep trying to force our own plan instead of just trusting that God has given wise counselors in our life to point us in the right direction? So not only should we trust him completely and don't lean on your own understanding, but finally, I just want to leave you with this promise. God will lead you. God will lead you. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5 say, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He's going to give you the things that you're going to be passionate about. And then he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Again, Psalm 119 we referenced earlier, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if we walk with the Lord, his word is going to guide us. His word is going to guide us, and he's going to use people in our lives to guide us in the directions that he desires us to go. God will lead us. But it's premised by saying, trust in the Lord. So do you trust in the Lord today? The essentials to spiritual growth as we step out to finish the semester strong are, do you believe God's word? Are you growing in your faith, believing God's word? And are you growing in your faith by believing in God's plan? Does he have a plan for you? Of course. Do you believe that? Are you trusting him? I pray that you are.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.